Good evening, Liberty. This is Jeff Malecki from University of San Diego. I look forward to hearing you today. Okay, not familiar with this march. Some interesting stuff. Yeah. Make sure those Mercado notes are not clipped too much. They should still have a good amount of body model. That after percussion, speaking of percussion, I could use a lot more accent percussion. That's what really gives us some sparkle in marches, and that goes for winds too. Whenever we have those regular accents over quarter notes, eighth notes to a lesser extent, lean on those notes, make them really nice and big. Now we have a lot of accented notes, so I would find some notes that we especially want to lean on an accent. And again, that's what really is going to give us character. Now I love to mess with things in marches. Looks like we have one time through in the trio. Of course, we always want to hear the woodwind obbligato, which is brief here in this little piccolo thing at 63. What I would personally do is bring that low brass line and saxophone line down a bit. I guess we'd have this twice through our DC, maybe, so that piccolo is loud and clear. Good work, by the way. And what you did right there was the most exciting thing of the piece. Now, there aren't many pianos here, but that's illustrating my point. All the more reason to tweak some dynamics and give us a ton of variety. Like we said, there aren't many repeated passages here. You know, there's so many great arrangements of marches that are playable by all bands, grade 2, grade 3, that are more the mainstream marches. I really recommend taking a look at that. Chimes of Liberty is a great one. There's a billion. Be in touch if you're looking for some titles, so that we can get some of the stylistic things like great accents that kind of stick out from the texture, talk about the role of percussion in marches, doing something different on the second strain when there actually is second time through. Lot of opportunity there. Great to hear a march regardless. So we had two full beats of prep. What I think that needs to be is a subdivision from everyone in the group. And I can't see inside your heads, but I'm guessing, based on some of the time in the first two bars, we kind of just eased into that instead of having two full prep beats and the first bar, essentially, of cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. And secondly, I need a great big breath, either on beat four before that entrance, or ideally, since this is a nice slow tempo, on the eighth note before that. Fast breath. It's great for timing. We also want that breath to be nice and low and supported. We had some kind of insecure sounds on that first pitch. A great low breath is going to give us great round sound. I wouldn't mind a little breath after that. No, we're also going to make sure we are nice and in tune. You know, we're in E flat major, so I would say, first of all, look at kind of that vertical tuning, make sure we have a good solid unison E flat in tune, and then expand it to the chord. Right there it is. It is a unison E flat, so we don't need to worry about it. And then as we go on, we can relate the melody to what's happening beneath it, and that's what I call horizontal tuning. When we combine those two, so kind of anticipating, you know, if the bass has an E flat, the upper voices have E flat, F, G, we know those tendencies and can anticipate the intonation. Taking those two, the vertical and the horizontal, putting them together, it's really a great way of tying together the complete package when it comes to intonation. Use that as well across all dynamic ranges. I thought we were pretty good at our first chord there at 25, and then during the course of the decrescendo, woodwinds, flutes have a tendency of going flat. Make sure you're blowing as forward as possible. The softer you get, the more forward the air has to be. Further, 2 feet out, 3 feet out, 4 feet out. The low brass has a tendency maybe to pinch more, upper brass as well, as you're getting softer there. So do a lot of buzzing exercises and make sure that everything stays open, open, open as you are getting softer there, so the pitch does not change. Some of our accompaniments a little bit strong here. Balance-wise, our melody is getting gobbled up, and our counter melody is definitely getting gobbled up. Make sure we always hear those loud and clear. Counter melody, not as important as melody, but pretty darn close. Hey, clarity-wise, we need to make sure we're hearing those 16th notes, horn and euphonium. Put a little bit of an accent, legato accent on the first one. Ba-da-da. To kind of bring our listening ear to that first note. Now, balance-wise, the trumpets are doing such a nice job. Da, dun, dun, dum, and decay. I like that decay. Maybe a little bit of a crescendo back up, so you're allowing the other voices to be heard, some of the counter melodies, including our whipped cream on top with our woodwinds and some of the percussion stuff. Oh, I would love a really clean, nice stop on beat one there. A nice quick release, bar 78. So here, 83, these two bars, taking a look at both that vertical intonation and the horizontal. It's an outstanding place to start. Usually endings are a great place to start, but actually I think 83 is even better to really double check that everything is happening the way you exactly want it to happen intonation-wise. We're making a lot of good sounds, so we just need to kind of take that to the next step and make sure the intonation is along the same lines. Yeah, I'm not familiar with this next piece. Looking forward to hearing something new. Revised edition, too. Exciting. That's a great vibra slap. Good work. And we talked about breathing for timing earlier on. Now percussion, I know you don't need air to play your instruments as much, but you do need air for timing. It helps immensely. I think that's going to help maraca line up with everything else. Again, intonation here in the trombones. Tuning these nice open fifths. Make sure those bottom notes are in tune, and then relate those top notes to that. And actually, with the bottom notes, I think we can relate that to our flute solo, who did a lovely job. Make sure that F is linked in. That's the horizontal tuning, and then from there, the vertical tuning, F and C, E and B, C and G. Section, we kind of have these two bar phrases at 12. Two bars, two bars, two bars, two bars. What you might want to do for a little bit of variety, especially since the tuba bridges the gap, you might want to make those four bar phrases, not allowing a breath after 13. Something to switch things up a little bit. Timing-wise, we're good, but we have a tendency of compressing just a little bit, and where that compression is happening is right before beat one, right before we play our downbeat. Listen to those beat ones, and you'll find that they're just a little bit fuzzy, because some people are trying to come in just a hair before the beat. With our melody, we also have a little bit of a rhythmic problem. I think some of our eighth notes, some of our sixteenths, more the eighth notes, especially since they're on the short side, are having a tendency of compressing. That's not really rushing, but they're just a little bit too close together. I would say breathe on the rests there, even if you don't need a breath, and maybe not on every single rest, but that's a great way of preparing the eighth notes right after that. Good, got percussion in there, good. Thank you. more internal time is going to help that immensely. We're getting a great beat from the podium, but wind players, I don't think we're following enough. That being said, it really needs to be more internal. I would love to see the band time happening. No conductor at all. The ownership is on you, and I bet that might fall apart one or two times. But I would say practice that, and you're going to come out the other end so much more solid with your time. Now we all talked about the big low breath, both for timing and for sound. That doesn't go away after our first note of the piece, or after only after big sections. Here at 88, every time the low brass comes in, low brass and all the woodwinds, everybody but trumpets, I want either an eighth note or a quarter note breath right before beat three. Again, I would do an eighth note breath. Make sure that's always big and low and supported, so we just get a big wall of sound. And percussion, that goes for you too, for timing. Also talk about articulation a little bit. I think our staccato notes are happening pretty well. If I did not have the score in front of me, though, I wouldn't know that those eighth notes were accented. Bum, bum, bee, dum. In more contemporary pieces like this, that's where we get our color and our excitement, are those accents. If you feel like you're doing them, you probably need to do about 50% more on stage than you think is necessary for us out here to hear it. Nice job. Of course, everyone at Liberty is very lucky to have Mr. Whaley on the podium. What I'm going to say to you, Travis, you look a lot like Danny Schmidt, which is good. That said, watch Tom Leslie more. That is my piece of advice to you. I think if you combine those two, you will be the best conductor in the world, which is pretty positive. Great. Thank you so much for playing today, Liberty, for being the last band. A nice long festival here. I appreciate your performance, and I look forward to hearing you again. Thank you so much. Have a great night.